Tonight's going to be just a little bit different. Are you ready to learn? Hopefully you're ready to learn something, all right? Sometimes, if the Lord will allow, I'd like to teach more than I would like to preach right here, okay? So 2 Samuel chapter 9, let's go there first. We're really going to dig down into Mephibosheth. So if you've got a piece of paper, maybe your bulletin from this morning, take some notes right here. We're really going to try to get into this in depth. And I'm not talking boring in depth. I'm talking about in depth, but not, you know. To this morning, there was so much spiritual. I mean, you get the Spirit of God just moving, and it just, you know, just hits and hits and hits, and you just got to keep going with it, right? Tonight, what I want to do is I want to kind of pull this apart. And that way, when you leave here, tonight is more of Mephibosheth, a natural man saved by a supernatural God or a supernatural event, a kingdom's going on. God's working big stuff in the world, but he's just a regular human being, just like us. Now, he's going to live in a palace. He's going to go through some stuff, but he's a normal person. And sometimes we take our focus off and we think, man, these people, we couldn't live like this, but we got saved by a supernatural God. And God is bringing to pass the end of this world. That's what he's been doing ever since Calvary. There's going to be a second coming of Christ. And we know that's a supernatural thing, and he's working in that. But while he's working in that, he's also letting us operate as normal human beings. Amen? With all the stuff that goes with. Okay? And I'm going to kind of show you through Mephibosheth how he handled some situations, maybe on a little bit bigger scale than ours sometimes, maybe not, but at the same time, how God is still saving him by his grace, letting him operate by faith. And let's see how that looks. Are y'all excited a little bit? I love teaching this stuff. I hope y'all get it in your heart this morning. Now, did you just get overwhelmed by the Spirit of God? And that's fine. Your hair's on fire. You're preaching. But I want y'all to know what you know here. So let's start in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and let's start about verse 10. And I want to overlap this where we know where we're leaving from, okay? Where we're leaving, the last time we've seen Mephibosheth, where is he at? Thou therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, and the master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, the master's son, shall eat bread always at the table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Now I want you to go back and look at this. He's talking to Ziba here, and he's telling, and it's a weird repetition. He's telling him, he said, he's going to be at my table, but you're going to prepare him fruit and till him a garden and keep his lands, keep his groves. You're gonna produce for him like he lives there and like he needs it. Okay, are y'all understanding that? Now, Ziba's got sons and he's got family and they're keeping the land that belonged to Saul, but they're doing it for Mephibosheth. But God keeps reminding him that he's not gonna really partake of that. He's gonna be partaking of mine. And that's neat. I mean, I can't exactly tell you, but it keeps screaming to me that once you're saved, all the work has been done through Christ Jesus. And all the stuff that's being done in the natural is just being done. It doesn't give you a higher or lower standard or standing with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whew. I hope y'all can stay right there with me. That's just good stuff. So verse 11. And then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall the servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Do y'all see that right there? He said, you're going to sit at my table like a son of mine. Not as somebody I've brought out of this place, Lodabar, and you're going to live over here in Saul's little area, and you're going to live your own life. You're going to be in my house like a son of mine. Now that tells me that's what salvation is to me. I got grafted out of this old family into this new family in Christ Jesus. And even though I'm still living, even though my stuff's still going on, I'm considered in the house of God. Okay, do you understand? The Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now. In Christ Jesus. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. now. It don't say one day you'll be in heaven. It says we are in heavenly places. Amen? Okay, so we got a dual citizenship going on. Well, he's got a dual citizenship too. He's got this land that his father owned, Saul, and it's being attended by Ziba, and yet he's in the king's palace as a son of the king. This is cool, right? Now, are y'all seeing this? I want y'all to really see this. Write this name down, Ziba. Ziba is a person that helped promote Mephibosheth. He was a vehicle who brought Mephibosheth to David, okay? Now, don't mistakenly sometimes think that your salvation or your standing with God is pointed to a person or it is connected to a person, because people can and will let you down. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that, because, and I'm not saying people are bad, but people are sometimes self-serving and can see something a way that might be helping them and not helping you. And just write down, Ziba was somebody that really helped Mephibosheth connect the dot with David. Okay, are y'all good with that? And now we see him. Now let's find out where we're at in 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Okay, last place we see him, just like we said this morning, he's under the table of God. His lameness is covered by God's grace, or by David's grace. All right, we understand it's God's grace in our salvation that covers us, but he's covered. So let's jump ahead real quick to 2 Samuel 16. This is the next time we get to see Mephibosheth in action, okay? Now this is going to be really relative to us, and see how sometimes things happen in our lives. And I kind of want to show you this supernatural thing, but there's a normal thing happening with you. And when David was, is this right? Yeah, 2 Samuel 16, verse 1, and we'll jump down to 3. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. Okay? And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. Okay? Now listen to verse 3 and verse 4. And the king said, now where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth in Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. All that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Okay, the next place we're going to be is 2 Samuel 19. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 24 is where we'll be next. But is this a rough patch for Mephibosheth? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to tell you exactly what's going on. Some of y'all already know. Some of y'all are Bible scholars and y'all have read this, and it's great. It's awesome. But just say this. Mephibosheth is not performing the way he thinks he should, and Ziba has painted a picture to King David that he has turned. Let's get this real quick. Absalom has taken over the kingdom of Jerusalem. Amen. He's come in and he's ran David out. And it's not that David probably couldn't take Absalom. It's the fact that it's his son, and he doesn't want to kill his son. And this is also a situation that's stemming back from when he went and killed Uriah, okay? He said, the sword will not depart from your house. So I know I'm giving you a lot of information. You just hang with me. Look at this. So this is a part of that, and his son is literally chasing him out of the kingdom. And David is at a very low point. He's sad because his son wants to kill him. He's sad because he probably knows in his mind that he's going to end up having to kill, or his son will end up dying. And he also knows that the people that he is the king over are suffering because of sins and choices that he made. Now, I'm preaching about something that don't even have nothing to do with what we're learning here, but it's pretty good. As he's leaving out of the town, Ziba meets him, and the first thing David, check this out. This is kind of how I see the attitude of God. David has so many things going on, and God has so many things going on, but he inquires about Mephibosheth. Ain't that pretty neat? I mean, God, it seems like sometimes I wonder why God deals with me at all. Like, you know, I know God directs me and he sends me and he burdens my heart. And then sometimes I kind of take a step back and say, God, don't you have more important things to do to worry about a guy who lives in East Tennessee? Do y'all ever think that way? Don't you? God, don't you? I mean, you got the universe going and you got nuclear proliferation. You got people in, you know, other countries that are starting. And you're still burdening my heart on chapter 6 of John. Amen. I mean, you're still opening my heart to the Word of God, and you're giving a message to the people here at the church to encourage them, to fire them up. So he's still involved when it seems like the person who represents God here, David, has got so much going on. He does inquire, where's Mephibosheth? Now, Ziba, I hate to tell you this, but he's running a line here. He said, Mephibosheth, he's back at home. He thinks that this new group, amen, are going to restore him to his kingdom. Would that make you feel bad? Yeah, it'd make you feel bad, right? But let's just break this down just a little bit more. Can we break it down? I want you to hear this. There are going to be times, you need to soak this in. There are going to be times when you're absolutely doing the best you can for God, and other people are going to say and do things to put a negative spin on you.
Amen.
Now listen, I want you to hear this. And don't let it come out of left field. Don't be sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening. Because there are very clear incidents in the Bible where this is happening. It's just part of life that some people will do certain things, but you need to write this down. It's not all about the people either. Amen. It's God also giving you an opportunity to show your faith. Amen? Because if everything was just up and up and you're just rising and rising and rising and everything's going good all the time and you never have to go through a tough thing, then you would really never know if you really trusted in God or not. You just always think, man, I got to trust Him because He's so good to me. But when you have to be tested, now Mephibosheth's really being tested here, and he don't even know it. How about failing a test when you don't even know you're involved in it? How about everybody talking about you and saying negative things about you, and all you're trying to do is live for God the best you can, or live for the one who saved you when he didn't even have to? Mephibosheth, I hate to tell you this, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he's lame on his feet. Amen? And sometimes we are limited in what we can do. And when we try to do the very best we can, and we try to do the very best we can for God, sometimes it's turned against us. And the story gets told, and you're not even there to tell it. I've gotten more trouble as a Christian sometimes, I think, than when I was lost. I've had people be mad at me and I didn't even know it. You're like, where's so-and-so? I don't know. I didn't talk to them. They're mad at you. And you're like, for what? Amen. Because they thought you did this when you were doing that. I'm like, no, I'm just trying to serve God with the best that I have. Amen. I'm saved by grace and I'm giving Him all I have. I would have never intentionally hurt them. Praise God, I don't even belong here. You understand? It's like, Mephibosheth's not there, but I want you to understand. Let's can we plow right there just a little bit deeper? I want you to get this. There are going to be times when you're going to be totally misunderstood. And I mean, people can say some terrible things. Here's where I want to go to. That, remember when I told you right now the name Ziba? Okay? Guess what? A lot of times it's the person that you that made all the connections, that helped you out, that one time was probably somebody you thought was one of your best friends. Amen? Amen? Yes. Or at least somebody you could trust. Are you good right here? Because this is real stuff. This really happens. The person that turns on him, the person that's giving the bad report, is somebody who in the beginning connected him to what he's operating in today. Is that cool?
Amen.
I love this kind of stuff because I love spiritual stuff, and I love to feel the Holy Spirit. I love to feel the goosebumps. I love to run and shout. I love it when the altars fill up. I do. But you know what I really like? I like to know what I know in Christ Jesus. And I like to know stuff that when something hits me, that I'm not just blown off course and going all kinds of weird because I didn't know what's happening. See, at one time early in our ministry, we thought people, man, you ever got some people, these people will always be for us, right? As trouble happens, they're the first people that leave. I thought you were for me. No, I hate you. Bye. Boom. Right? But the even cooler thing is some people you think that don't like you are for you. I was blown away. I thought that, I had a radio ministry when I first started out. I was starting radio ministry, and we went to this church, and the church said, we think we're going to try to support you. And I was like, it don't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. God's put it on my heart. No big deal. And they're talking to the business, and a little lady tapped this guy on the shoulder, and I could see her. And she tapped him on the shoulder and whispered in his ear, and I was thinking in my spirit, because she always, she's never nice to me, never talked to me. I was thinking, oh, man, she's don't tell him to go fly a kite. Right? I'm pretty perceptive. I picked up on it. I'm like, oh, man, them people, they've never liked me. They never even say a kind word. And come to find out, she leans over into the man's ear and says, tell them that we'll pay the whole support for the radio. Wow, that was a weird perception. I was way off. Amen? Can I tell you a secret about that lady, too? It was pretty neat. From then on, she would tell my wife when I first started preaching, I didn't have any preaching clothes. Thank God. I'm sorry. Sorry, I said let that out. Y'all know me, don't you? But she would come to my wife. She worked at a place where they made suits, and she would give my wife suit coats and suits all the time. I mean, grade A suits, good suits. She would say, I would see them going out the door, and they'd say, don't come out here. And I'd get in the car and have a brand new suit. Because that woman, she cared about the ministry, but she didn't let on like she did. But there were some people who let on like they did. Oh, I love you, brother, I love you. Minute that time got tough, turbulence hit, they were out the door. I mean, they were like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. But it's okay. I'm not aggravated with those people, and I'm not mad at them. I just know that we don't put our trust and faith in people because things can happen in people's lives, and they can do things, they can react and not even know it. Amen? Let's go a little bit further. I say I'm preaching a little bit harder than I thought it was. I can't, it's almost impossible for me to teach. This is my teaching thing. Ain't that weird? I'm sweating. 2 Samuel 19 in verse 24. And Mephibosheth, he comes back on the scene. The son of Saul came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day that the king departed until the day that he came in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Is this cool? Is God giving him an opportunity to reestablish himself here? But was he prepared for it? Was he prepared for it? Let's go back. Some people are saying no. Let's go back and look. And Mephibosheth still came down, and the king, and listen to what he said. He had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from that day that the king departed until the day that he came in peace. Can I say this? He was a stinker. He's stinking, man. And he looked rough. Now you got to, let's break this down. He was living in the palace. He was a son of the king, right? And what the man Ziba had said was that he was going to be established by Absalom to be the next king. But when King David came back, he was prepared to meet King David by his appearance. No. Are y'all tracking? He wasn't living the lifestyle when King David was gone. He was brokenhearted. He couldn't do anything about it. We're going to read that in a moment. But when King David seen him, he knew something was up right away because the man didn't look like he'd been living the king's lifestyle. He looked like somebody who had said, I can't live without you. Now listen, I want you to hear this. I can't live without you. That's how I feel about Jesus. See, if Jesus leaves, if Jesus comes off the throne and goes out because something's took place, it's never going to happen. But I'm just saying, I can't live. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to trim my hair. I'm not going to brush my teeth. I'm not going to take a bath. I'm not going to do anything until you either return, because I have not got the capability to reach where you're at. I will show you that I love you right here. Is that good? That's good for me. Can I give you all a little side preaching? Just a little extra? Somebody say, yeah, it'd be, all right, good, I will. All right, look, this is the same thing when Jesus said, I will return as a thief in the night. Do we really believe that? Yeah. If we really believe that, wouldn't we drop some of the petty stuff that we do? Amen. I mean, really, I'm thinking about this. If somebody, let me say this, tonight at about 12:45, somebody's going to break in your house. They're going to come to your house and break in. What is the first thing? What would be the first thing you might do tonight? Shoot them. Praise God. Hope it's the person that was coming. No, you're right. I love that. Amen. I love that answer, because that's probably my answer. I'm saying, when the door turns, I'm going to make more holes in my house than were there before. Amen. Right? Hold on. I'm going to be prepared for the moment that he opened the door. I'm talking about Mephibosheth still. Kind of. I'm just saying, when the door opened, or when the person crawled through the window, you weren't in the bed. You weren't at the restaurant. You weren't down the street. Amen? Some of you, well, I don't have a gun. You had the police there. You had surveillance going. You had a camera going. You were ready. I guarantee you, you didn't say, oh, I don't care. Go to bed. Kids, you go to bed. I'm going to bed. Right? You're prepared. Because at any moment, that door, you're looking for it to come. Jesus said, I'm coming back as a thief in the night. Are we prepared for that? I'm telling you, some of you need to get this in your head. You worry about stuff that don't even matter, and if the Lord was to come back, like he said he comes back, then you're going to be messed up because you are so preoccupied with something that didn't even matter. Can I show you how to let it go? Oh, no. You don't have a recipe for this, do you? I do. Mephibosheth shows us. Are y'all good? And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem. All right, let's go down to verse 26. And he answered, my Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king because the servant is lame. Did you hear what he said? Ziba went to get the horses or the donkeys and he lit out. Remember when he showed up with the king and he had two donkeys that were already saddled? It was a deception, okay? Now, he gets to lay that out. There's been a deception going on, but his appearance matches up with his story, okay? So good. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. Start this right here. Here's the recipe for getting healthy and getting ready for God to come back. You go to God about the situation. And the situation only. Are y'all with me? When somebody does you wrong, when somebody's really wearing you out, you go to them and you tell God exactly what they're doing. And I mean, you lay it out word for word. Don't add to it and don't take away. Don't put your personal spin on it. Tell them, hey, he went and said that he was going to get a donkey. He didn't. And he didn't come back to get me and I'm lame, so I had no choice. I had to stay here. Now he slandered me to you and he's came to you and told you a story that's not true. Now, this is my favorite part. Here it is. Here's one part of the recipe. Are you ready? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hold y'all accountable to this. I'm just kidding. I ain't. That was an empty threat. He tells God, listen, do whatever you want to do about it. Dude, I could leave right now. That helped me. I mean, I could just walk out the door right now. Do you hear what he said? Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. God, here's the situation. Here's the problem. There it is. Take it. You know what happened. I know what happened. Now I'm walking away from this. Holy goodness. Some of y'all, I wish I could crawl in your brain right now and look. Amen? Because there's some synapses and there's some things firing across. Because guess what? There's some people that you ain't let go of stuff for 20 or 30 years. You say you have, but when somebody brings it up, you remind, hey, yeah. Amen. Oh, Joe Johnson, Joker. Yeah, he really, I thought y'all forgave me. I did, but, you know. Amen. Do therefore what is God. Will you take care of this? Because I don't want to tote it around no more. Now, wait a minute. Is he still fresh in it? Wait a minute. Golly, am I preaching? He's fresh in it still, right? He still ain't trimmed his beard, ain't brushed his teeth, ain't took a bath, he ain't got anything going on. He's rank smell of all time, right? This is medieval time. This is third world country stuff. He is stinking. I mean, he's been living like a king for a while, and we get to live like a king for a while, but when bad things happen to us, we begin to stink a little. I mean, man, I'm about to blew my top right there. Because I can go to stinking pretty quick, Charlie. You know what I mean? I mean, I can clean up pretty good, and I can do, but man, I tell you right now, if somebody does me wrong, boy, howdy, I can go to stinking pretty quick. I mean, I just start stinking the place up because guess what? Then I let myself take over and I start talking and I start saying and I don't do any pride and I let things happen and guess what? Here I am. We're in a mess. And I begin to start stinking. So don't think this can't be us. It really is. I love when he says that. God, you take care of this. Verse 28, for all of my father's house were but dead men. Verse 20, we're still on the recipe. Part two of the recipe, y'all ready? For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I to cry any more unto the king? No, listen, here's the recipe. You want it? The first one is turn it over to God. Number two, remind yourself of where you came from. Man, listen, I'm telling you, this will work right here. This is a good one because sometimes we're getting petty over stuff that really don't matter. And if we were to look at it, we'd either be dead or in the hospital or in the mental ward or dying or under drug addiction or... Wrong crowd, I guess. Whew. Yeah, that's us. Never mind. Yeah, it is. Okay. So he reminded himself. Sometimes you got to remind yourself that I'm mad at the people in the kingdom, but I wouldn't even be in the kingdom if you hadn't rescued me out of my mess. I was just a lame man in a lame land. But now I'm treated as a child of the king, and apparently I'm still here, so I don't have anything else to cry about. Amen. Glory, glory, can you say that? Just said, did I say that? That's good, ain't it? The Bible said, I didn't say it, Carolyn. The Bible said it. Stop your thank you, Steve. I yet to cry anymore unto the king. I ain't crying no more. I'm done. I'm letting it go. I've reminded myself where I come from. Do you want another piece of the pie? Here's another part of the ingredient. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of this matter? Well, that's pretty good, ain't it? Y'all don't catch that. It took me a minute to get it too. God's done with it. David's done with it. He ain't going to kill you. There ain't no judgment coming to you. The matter's done. Now check this out. There's still part of it. I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Whoa. I can't ask y'all that right now. Y'all are in church. If we're in church right now, y'all give the right answer. Oh, that's okay, God. Good job, buddy. Love you, Ziba. It's okay. No. This man's defamed you, defrauded you, tricked you, left you, and all of a sudden God says, y'all just divide the land between yourselves. Okay. Okay, God. Has God ever given you an answer you didn't like? Have you ever been stuck in a family situation, a problem, and he didn't give you the answer you wanted? Well, look at this. Ain't this good? But look, here's the last piece of the pie. I want y'all to get it. Verse 30. This is awesome. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Y'all see it? I ain't here for the stuff. I wasn't in love with the stuff when you brought me back. I'm in love with you. The only thing I wanted back was you. The only thing I missed was you. When you were gone, the stuff disappeared. I ain't enjoyed the stuff since you've been gone. So you give him all that stuff because he's going to find out there ain't no happiness in the stuff. It's in you. I want you to hear that. There ain't no happiness in anything save Jesus Christ. You can have all the stuff. You can have the title, the office, the place. You can have it all. If I don't have Jesus, I just don't have anything. We're miserable. Looks good, don't it? Let's go to the last piece. Does it pay off? 2 Samuel... Make a good note right here. 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. Is that where we were? 2 Samuel 21, verse 6 and 7. This is what happens when your handwriting looks like hieroglyphics. Amen? Somebody said, why don't you preach from notes? Because I couldn't read them if I did. Y'all good? All my bad handwriters should have said amen, but you didn't. 2 Samuel 6, 21, 6 and 7. Now this ain't going to make sense to you, but... Let's go back. 21, go to verse 1 first. Let's do that first, and we'll go to 6 and 7, we'll close. Then there was a famine in the day of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. Okay, y'all good right there? We've got a lot of information. But there was a famine in the land because of something Saul did. That should tell you something, that your actions have repercussions with God. Long-lasting ones. Okay? But check this out. So, there's this famine, and God and David prays to God, what do? We got people dying. He says, you need to get with the Gibeonites and figure out what they would take for them to be pleased where I can lift the famine. Are y'all good? Now that's where we get where we're at. Verse 6 and 7. Let 7 men of his sons, that's Saul, sons and grandsons, okay, his sons, be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. Whew. High price, right? 7 people. Give me 7 of his lineage, and I'm going to hang them jokers on a tree. Okay? Verse 8. Is that right? No, verse 7. But the king spared Mephibosheth. Thank you back there. Amen. The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Whew. Now, listen. You get saved. You're sitting up under the table. You're blessed. Amen. Everybody's been there that's been saved. God saved me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right? Been there. I've been there. I'm still there, but I've been there. Amen. But you go through a time when it seems like everybody in the world's against you. Amen. Then you get vindicated a little bit, and you go through the ups and outs, but you got to show your faith. And guess what? Final judgment comes, and there's one person that's spared in final judgment. Because, now listen, y'all need to write this down and get it. Not because of who he was ultimately. Are y'all good? Y'all need to get this because this is a deep, deep part right here. And I want y'all to really feast on this one. Okay? He got saved. This should shout, make you shout. He got saved because of the covenant between David and Jonathan. But wait a minute. I thought he got saved because he showed faithfulness and he didn't turn on David when he got, exiled for a while. No. But doesn't it feel good? Wouldn't it feel great to be spared in the judgment? When the judgment comes, you'll be spared because you love God and was faithful to Him and you were under the covenant. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Do y'all get what I'm saying? I want y'all to get this. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by God's covenant at Calvary who died for our sins. We're saved because of that grace. But here's where your work or your faithfulness even through tough times comes in, because when you're standing there and he says, enter in my good and faithful servant, wouldn't you like to have anything in your heart say, I tried my very best. I was in love with you so much that I would have went without anything but you. He spared Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth can say, he saved me because of the covenant, but he also, this is also married together, we are in a relationship. Amen? Because salvation's a free gift. The relationship takes work. And it also takes you being faithful even in the hardest times. Because we always got to keep in our mind, write this down, I promise I'm going to be done. Because you got to remember where you came from.
Amen.
And you got to remember where you're going. Do you see this? Here's the thing. At the very minute, he had to re-encourage himself because he remembered where he come from, Lodabar, without any help. But here in the end, he's going to pass through this judgment that was coming down from God because he was saved, okay? So sometimes, somewhere between there, I have to encourage myself where I came from before I got saved. And when the devil really is picking a fight with me, I got to remind myself, hey, this is just a temporary place. I'm going home. Amen? Now, I just crammed. Listen, I'm being honest with you. I crammed three messages into one. I'll be honest with you. I love response, but the greatest response to this message is to apply it to your heart and life. When you go through something, when somebody slanders you or somebody does you wrong, that you don't go haywire.
Amen.
You go to God.
Yeah.
Amen? You give it to God, you forgive, and you remind yourself it ain't about the stuff, it's about the relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Then you just ultimately remind yourself where you're coming from. Amen? Where you came from. And then at the end, just say, turn it up. That's, hey, I don't need any of that but you. Amen? And then we get to the end. You just got to shout it out and say, hey, when final judgment comes, and I'm standing before that great white, the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne, that's the wrong one. You want to, when you're standing where the judgment of the saints, and you're standing there, and he says, enter in, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You'll be like, whew, everything was worth it. Let's all stand. Does that come get a song of invitation? I hope this has helped you tonight more than anything else. I hope you can just take it and put it in your heart.